I felt like during the second wave, I was tweeting 24/7. If something happened on a day off, I'd get my phone up and tweet because I did feel that accountability.
We had a lot of press conferences last year, and we also had a lot of reporters go to them and communicate the information back to us. One of them was Benita.
My name is Benita Kolovos. I'm a journalist with the Australian Associated Press, and I cover Victorian state politics.
I came across Benita on Twitter. She had this fantastic ability of summarising the restriction changes, COVID cases, the announcements, within seconds of them happening in just a series of tweets.
I obviously only came across you last year, but was this something that you were doing before COVID?
Not as much, but I felt during, you know, COVID, the role of a journalist, at the end of the day, is to share information with people. So I felt it was even more important, you know, in that battle against misinformation and conspiracy theories and lots of commentary on the pandemic, to actually just provide people with the facts. I know a lot of my colleagues don't tweet, but I know I find it really helpful, and I find it's great, particularly in politics. You kind of get a gauge on how people are feeling or what they want to know, particularly in the Daily Dan presses. I felt like we got caught up so much in the politics of it. It was nice to hear from people, and I would ask people before I'd go in, I'm heading to the press conference today, is there anything you want to know? And there were so many questions about, you know, their permits and the website not loading, things that sometimes could get missed. So it was kind of good to get that perspective from others on there too. So yeah, I love it. You know, AAP, where I work, we are a wholesale news outlet. We're about accurate and impartial news, and I felt like this was an extension of it to, you know, provide people with that fast, accurate information so that they didn't have to sit through what we were sitting through, which was like, you know, one day I think it was 2 hours and 40 minutes of the Premier talking. So if there's a way that I can help people avoid that, then I'm happy to.
Yes, you did us all a great service, I can't imagine. Presses, I guess, they can sometimes be a little bit wordy or confusing, and sometimes information would get communicated and then changed later that day. Were there ever cases where you would tweet something only to find out that, you know, the information had changed, or maybe you'd misunderstood it? And then how would you go about redacting or deleting that?
I avoid deleting where possible. I will add to the thread and go, you know, correction or updated information, whatever the case may be. I'll add it to my original tweet. I just feel that's more transparent. So I try and treat it, all my tweets, how I write, in the same tone as I would for an AAP story. Even things like spelling and grammar, I treat it exactly as I would a story. But in terms of, you know, has the information changed? Has the government, you know, provided a correction? I think people also deserve to know if that's the case, like, or if I just stuffed up. You know, you can own it, own your mistakes, but then at the same time, if you're getting new info from the government, people should also get to know that that's new info from the government.
There was an article this week in the Sydney Morning Herald about journalists and how they use social media by Margaret Simons. It was criticising journalists not remaining objective on issues on social media and sort of tweeting their hot takes. What's your stance on that? How do you apply that to how you use Twitter?
For me, it's a tricky one, because AAP, like I said, it is a wholesale news outlet. We are accurate. We try really hard to be impartial. I, on the whole, try and avoid having an opinion on tweets as much as possible, particularly if I'm covering that story. So you'll find, you know, I avoid, you know, really descriptive adjectives, like, you know, oh, this is a crazy quote from the minister. Like, I'd never tweet something like that. If it is a crazy quote, I'll just let the quote speak for itself. I don't know if this is the best advice I can give, but I always find, if I am going to, you know, put an opinion out there, am I going to, you know, back this? Am I going to defend myself for it? Not that I'd ever necessarily lose a job over it, but would I be willing to? Like, that's the sort of benchmark I put on putting an opinion out there, and that's probably a lot, you know, more stronger than other reporters. You're allowed to have a personality as well. Everyone that follows me knows that I love having a margarita on a Friday.
Are you prepared to stand by that?
100%. I'm willing to lose my job over my love of a really strong margarita on a Friday. If there's just one thing I can add, is just, if you're going to start using Twitter as a journalist, don't be afraid to block people. If someone's abusing you, don't be afraid to report it. While it's an important tool, and I love using Twitter, I won't tolerate people being rude.
It does make everything more accessible, social media, but also means you're more accessible.
Exactly. And also, like, don't feel like you have to, as a reporter report on social media every single day, and you need to give yourself a break. So if you are on a day off, I strongly recommend staying off social media, because it does become an extension of your job.
And I'm glad that it's become less about presses for you and hopefully more about margaritas.